My very special guest today is director, actor Stephen Morris. He knows in 2022, Wicked Ones in 2020, and The Embalmers in 2021. Steve, welcome to the show.
Thanks so much for having me.
No problem. I actually came across you for He Knows. I've been doing this for 13 years. I'm probably one of the only ones still surviving since then. And I came across He Knows. But I do want to start earlier. Let's start with Night Out. You played Clayton Riggs in 2018. What was that like, your experience like for that?
So that project is actually something that's still in development. I was cast in it forever ago. That's actually a funny story. I was cast in it forever ago, and then the filmmaker started to develop it and then decided to drop it. So he gave me the rights to rewrite it. So I've actually been kind of developing that in the shadows for a little while now, writing it, trying to get it going. That is going to be a fun little, I want to say, I don't want to give too much away about it, but that's essentially one of those party in the backwoods type situation gone wrong. Yeah, with a certain group of family members that are wreaking havoc on these young party goers.
Nice. Now, are you gonna throw like an 80s throwback with it?
Now, I'm a big 80s, 90s guy, so I'm definitely going to keep it something simple like that, where it's just kind of like, why ain't they calling for help? Because they don't have cell phones.
Yeah, that's perfect. Perfect.
Yeah.
Now, you also did a short film. You play Steven in a short film, Fractured.
That one was a 48-hour film project that I had worked on. I was kind of like a debt collector who's there to threaten somebody who's not really someone you should really be threatening.
Nice.
Very fun, short little film. It was about 6-7 minutes long. Because in those 48-hour film competitions, you got to keep it under 7 minutes, I do believe. So one of my earlier acting roles, for sure. It was pretty cool.
Nice, because I got somebody on when I was a couple years ago when he first started doing that. I did some reviews on some short films like that. And some of them are very creative, mm-hmm. You know, for the short amount of time of making them.
Yeah, I've got about 3 or 4 of those out there where I'm either a writer or an actor for that we've won some awards for. Now, Fractured didn't win any awards, but it was still a pretty fun learning experience. Definitely got me into the game and wanting to write and do all the other stuff instead of just acting.
Okay. Now, I wanted to ask, because I should have started in the beginning. How did you get involved in acting?
Well, I went to film school at the Art Institute in North Hollywood back in 2008, 2009. And I did that for about 2.5 years. And the goal was digital filmmaking and video production. I wanted to be on set, but I wasn't exactly sure how I wanted to do it other than acting. So I thought, learn the whole scope of everything. You know what I mean? Figure out what I want to do in film school and kind of network and do everything that way. And acting really was my main focus, but it's one of those situations where it's like, you're not getting cast in the roles you want to be in or at all. So you kind of have to start writing your own material. And then when you start writing your own material, maybe you hand it off to other people and they don't do exactly what you would have done. So you start making your own material from scratch, you know, actor, writer, director, producer. I keep myself busy just so I can act, essentially. But now I'm focusing more on writing and directing because there's just so much work that goes into that when you're producing a film. You know, it's just, you stay busy. I don't
want
to too thin.
That's a funny part because I can tell you my quick story of how I got involved in the acting and voice acting business. Is I started a podcast in 2010 where I'd be interviewing like actors, directors, producers. And then it led to, in 2014, I interviewed a filmmaker, Blue De Goyer. He did the film, and then he decided to create a new, it's called The Hillbilly Horror Show, which I play Cephas, a mumbling idiot, because I talk all the time with interviews and doing reviews. But even before that, back in 2012, I did like a bartender scene in a film called Dakota. I had to go to Long Island, New York. Of course, you know how the industry is somebody comes with a brainy idea of reshooting the whole scene again. So in a sense, I was taken out. But then when I got to the Hillbilly Horror Show, that was pretty fun. And then I started doing voiceovers for like movie trailers and stuff for filmmakers in Canada. And then I know the ins and outs behind the scenes, you know, it's not easy making the film. You know, you have to prep for the next scene, you know, and you realize that when you watch a movie, the beginning part could be the last part shot. So I learned real quickly behind the scenes, which it helps me also when I review a film, is I'm not going to stand there and say, yeah, that's kind of dark there, because I understand that minimal budgets, you have what you have and you do the best you can. And even getting a movie made is a accomplishment itself. So I understand that part of it. But, and then you mentioned about a film that Night Out that was never done. I did a film called Shatter way back in 2012. It was my second acting gig. And it finally got released last February. Everything got done, and the movie was laid out very nice. It shot very well. It turned out very, very nice. So I understand all that about doing a film. And well, I did one in 2015 that hasn't been released yet. So I understand the aspect of, you know, it's either, like you said, they give the right to somebody else, or life happens, you know, they get married, or they move, they have to get their priorities straight and go back doing it again. So I understand that wholeheartedly how that works.
Yeah, my resume would be a lot longer if some films would come out.
Well, next one I'm going to talk about, the movie's called Black Mamba. You played Smithers.
Yeah, that's a fun one. Black Mamba is kind of like a supernatural twist on a Kill Bill type of film, where it's a woman getting revenge after her death. And it's a lot of supernatural elements to it. I'm kind of like this otherworldly type of cop, from what I gathered, who kind of like gets people who escape the underworld and tries to bring them back. And he's got some colorful dialogue. That's how I would put it. But that's a really fun, one of those earlier acting roles that I was just like super excited to have, you know?
Yeah. And sometimes it happens. There's some that you're really excited to do. And what really sucks the most is something that you really wanted to do and the film never gets made. That's so frustrating.
I'm the type of guy, I don't even attach myself to something unless it's something I want to do. So it's always a bummer. You know what I mean?
Well, there's one that I have not seen, but I'm definitely going to look for it. I'm pretty sure it's released by now. It's called The Wicked Ones in 2020. Mm-hmm.
I do believe
it was directed by Tori Jones. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So what's your experience like in that one?
That one was another fun one. So that's actually a sequel. Part one is called The Wicked One. I do believe both films are available on Amazon and Tubi. Wicked Ones nice. Is the one that I'm in. And I'm an officer in charge of transporting a couple of deadly siblings across country. And one of those is played by Jason Crow. If anybody watches independent horror films, they know Jason Crow's in everything.
I know Jason Crow, yep.
Yeah, so it was pretty cool getting to work with him and just seeing how he, so there's a script and then there's what Jason does. And Jason always does better than whatever is written. I don't care what anybody writes or how good the writing is. He's just one of those actors that's just going to bring something extra to it. So getting to act with him was really fun. And nice. Corey Jones is he's a pretty cool filmmaker down in Kentucky to work with as well.
So how did it turn out?
I was actually I was really happy with the final product for that film. I thought it was a really fun slasher film. If anybody's like a fan of like Halloween type mass killer films,
that's me.
It's right up your alley. It's a pretty fun. It's a pretty fun little franchise he's making there. I know he's working on a new one called The Boy from Below, and that's going to be connected to those somehow. I'm not entirely sure. Oh, not sure.
Definitely going to check those two out. That's for sure.
Yeah, the Wicked one is a pretty fun character, for sure.
Cool. But you're also in the movie called The Embalmers in 2021. Now, that looks awesome as well.
Yeah, that one's probably the one I got to act in the most. I got to play like this backwoods redneck who happened to know voodoo and be a bad guy. Another colorful set of dialogues. I really enjoyed playing that one. It was the first time I actually grew out my facial hair was for a film like that, and now I can't stop. Rob Mello from Happy Death Day, he just calls me Beard. Like, that's my nickname now. Every time, hey, Beard! I'm just like, my name now, man. But my character's name was Frank Ratz in that film, as a pretty fun character.
And that's directed by Rebecca Reinhart, and it has a Julianne Prescott in it, and Jessa Flux.
Yeah, they got a pretty pretty good cast on there. Like I said, Rob Mello from Happy Death Day.
Yep.
I can't never say her name properly. Elaine Udy, I think is how you say her name. She was from My Bloody Valentine, a bunch of others.
Yep.
Well, I want to say Dr. Quinn Medicine Woman, if I can remember off the top of my head. she played like my older sister in that film, so it was really cool getting to act with her, you know.
That's cool. Very cool. Now, what about Something in the Shadows? You played Tony.
You know, that's another one of those ones that just never got developed. We went out and shot like a bunch of stuff for a teaser for the filmmaker to start making the film, and then a bunch of stuff fell under and never really heard anything else about it.
Wow, that sucks.
Yeah, I need to clean up that IMDb a little bit, apparently.
Well, no, it's good to have a resume, though.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, it's work I did. It's just, I don't know if anybody will ever see anything of it. You know what I mean? I didn't get to shoot the whole film of my character or anything, so I don't know how to make it work. But
now, there's a short film that you did that I'm very familiar with, Raymond Kester, of course. And, of course, Kermit Merle Ray, K, that's attached to you later on. But The Watcher by the Dead in 2021. What was that like?
That one is, I can't give too much away about my character in that one because it is a short and it's kind of hilarious with the story, but it's about this guy who is, his job is working at, like, you know, around dead bodies and stuff. So one night he made a bet that he would be willing to sit in a room all night, no light, with a dead body and not be able to freak out or something like that, essentially. You know, being left in alone in a room with a dead body in your imagination, or, you know, what it isn't your imagination, could go either way. So that was a really fun one. I've never really had that much makeup on me ever. Again, not to give away too much, but there's a lot of makeup and contact lenses and stuff that were used in this one that were really cool. And I'm just like, I don't know if I'll ever do contact lenses again without getting paid pretty well, but certainly a fun experience.
Wow. Now here's one that's drama, but has a catchy title, Chasing Rabbits in 2021.
That was a really cool one too. So The Embalmers, He Knows, and Chasing Rabbits are all done here in Indiana by Indiana filmmakers. That was a really cool one. I got brought on to like the last minute to shoot part of like a someone who's in a cult, essentially trying to capture this woman who's trying to investigate the cult. Now the plot of the film is essentially something along the line of her father. Something happens with her father and she's investigating this group of people because of it and starts to unfold this mystery about a cult. That was another really fun one. You know, I just get excited to be on set. So whatever I get to do, I'm always happy.
Well, the next one we're going to talk about that I did a review on, and I'm pretty sure you, if you saw it, this movie was, I love films like this one because when I started a podcast 13 years ago, I started off with no budget, low budget, medium budget, to where they weren't perfect, but they were fun. And they can make it look perfect when there was no budget. Make sense? And this movie is called He Knows in 2022. I absolutely fucking loved this film.
That's awesome.
Creative, very creative. You know, anybody who would watch this film that doesn't understand film probably won't have the same aspect as I'm talking about right now. But there's a lot of people that do understand it. And a mass killer known as Sammy the Elf punishes the naughty of a small western town for the holidays. Listeners, get a chance. You got to see this. And you got to understand first that it's not a big budget film. Still go in thinking that you're going to see a $10,000 costume. This movie, I don't care, Steve, was done perfect. I'm not going to blow smoke up your ass. I love this film. Lynn Lowry, I've interviewed twice. To me, like I said in my review, this is probably Lynn Lowry's bigger and better performances I've seen in a film in years, and she was great. To even hear her cuss was great. So tell us about it, how it came about, what was the trials and tribulations on making this film, and the reception of it after it was done and released.
Wow. So, you know, when I came up with the concept, I was kind of like, I really love holiday horror films, and I feel like there's not enough of them. I don't care how many there are. I'm a huge fan of Wes Craven and the Scream films, and I wanted to do a mask killer type of film, but it was like, how do I come up with a mask design? You know, who do I pitch that to? And I came across this guy named Scott Blake, another Indiana effects artist, you know, and we kicked some ideas back and forth. And the concept I wanted for Sammy the Elf was basically Twisty the Clown meets Elf on the Shelf. And Twisty the Clown is from American Horror Story, if anybody hasn't seen it. So I think we pretty much nailed the design for the mask. Obviously, we had to take liberties with the costume, with the budget and stuff, but the mask is just so perfect to me. I just love the mask so much. But yeah, it's just kind of like a masked whodunit film, like Scream, you know? At one point, I was like, I'm going to do a creature feature, but I was like, there's no way I can make that look realistic on a budget that I could probably get. So I was like, what's scarier than a creature feature is, you know, a masked whodunit type film to me, because anybody could be the killer, and it's more realistic type of situation, in my opinion. But we wanted to keep it somewhat playful whenever the killer is in character, essentially. And yeah, that was just kind of how we went about designing the concept for the film.
Well, what I think it's amazing about this film is normally when somebody who's, I don't give too much away because I'm sure a lot of people haven't seen it yet. One thing I like about it is the Amber. No, wait, which one is it?
Jessa Flux played Amber.
Was it Christina who was a child?
Yes.
And when she was a child, the elf, her dad was mean to the stepbrother. And you know how it goes where it comes in and kills. And then later on, when she mentions Sammy's name, everybody said, yeah, it's like they didn't think she was crazy. They literally, you know, I mean, that was cool, because in most movies like this here, you're gonna have everybody saying, yeah, you're crazy, you're seeing things, but they agreed with her. And I think that's what really made this film stand out even more, is because now it's not like your typical, oh, Christina, you're just seeing things, that didn't happen, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. It was laid out very nice.
Yeah, I tried to, you know, with that, there's another flashback sequence or whatever when the sheriff is talking about, you know, you're not the only house that got hit that night.
So right.
Implying that other people had sightings of this elf, you know, doing nefarious things. So I was trying to build there, you know, I was like, what do I always want? It's like more than one killer type situation possibility. Possibly a cult, you know, I just wanted to like really build it out from there for that. And, you know, for the shooting situation, we only filmed for 22 days, but we started October of 2020 and then wrapped August 2021. So it was only 22 days, but it took us that long to film everything. So, you know, you're like, man, there's no snow. Well, we didn't really have a lot of snow that year in Indiana anyway, but
no, we didn't either.
We were straight up in the summer filming too, you know, but in the winter we didn't really have much snow, and it was kind of like little stuff like that. 22 days of filming took that long, but that was like, if you remember, COVID really started popping off in March of 2020.
Yep.
So it was like right in the mess of all that, dealing with, okay, we can't have these people travel. We can't, you know, do this without all these extra precautions. So we held off and had to like stretch out everything. So, you know, I got to give it to the cast and crew. They were troopers for sticking around, staying in contact with me throughout all that process of trying to schedule and shoot everything when we really didn't have much of a budget raised. You know, we were aiming for 30K, and I think I raised like 7 or 9K or something like that through crowdfunding, two different campaigns.
Right.
But, you know, that helped us a long way, but it's not what we were gunning for. But I still ended up doing around the 30K by the end of it. So, you know, taking all that time of shooting it and then getting post-production and everything, it took forever to get it out because it was like, yeah, I didn't have the budget to make this, but I still made it exactly how I wanted to. You know, other things maybe would have been better if I actually had the money at the time, like lighting or slightly better set decoration. You know, maybe would have went one or two more takes for people. But yeah, I'm pretty happy with the end result of it, considering
I am
all the chaos.
I'm very happy. Very happy.
I tell people, whenever you're working on a film, really think about it, because shit literally happens. One day we're filming at an Airbnb. The second day we're there, someone comes to me in the middle of filming, we're out of toilet paper. All right, I have no PAs this day. I just have literally me, my DP, and an AC, and then the actors for the scene. That's it. So I'm like, all right, DoorDash, toilet paper. You know? Shit literally happens. You know what I mean? So it's just...
Yeah. It makes it fun, though, right? It makes it fun. It makes it challenging. I mean, if you're not challenged at nothing, what's the fun in it?
Oh, yeah. It's like, you know, and having like a no-budget indie film, it's kind of like you schedule your days and then come upon your days and then somebody doesn't come through. And it's like, oh, no, I got to reschedule certain scenes or rearrange or do blocking a different way to make up for it. And, you know, little things like that happen when you don't have a budget to pay people day of.
Right.
Yeah.
So how was Lynn Lowry like?
She's fantastic. I was so nervous to work with her. And that was one of those situations where it was like, I didn't have PAs these days. I didn't have extra crew. I just had my AC and my DP, and that was it. And so like, I'm having to fill in and do like the boom mic and everything, or like rotate with one of them and like do all these different things that I don't normally do because we just didn't have anybody. So it was like, oh my God, what's Lynn Lowry going to think? And she was like, you know, I was nervous at first, but you guys are really professional and fun people to work with, and it looks fantastic. So, you know, she was happy with it, so I'm happy with it.
My experiences with Lynn Lowry, I've never met her, but having long conversations with her in interviews and stuff. Mm-hmm. If she's a problem with something, she will not be afraid to say something. Mm-hmm. So if she was happy, then she was happy. That's all I gotta say.
Right.
But some of the stuff she would tell me from
her, so I was like, oh no. You know what I mean? I'm glad you were happy. Well, it's like, you know, we show up, a certain actor didn't come through that day. I'm like freaking out a little bit, like, oh no, I gotta reschedule, I gotta rearrange. I'm sitting there for like an hour trying to rearrange these scenes and set up blocking to make it work that day. We got through everything. Didn't take us but like 6 hours, you know, instead of like the 8 hours I had scheduled. So it was like little things like that. It was just kind of like, it could have gone really bad, but I had a great team of people around me that were there. So
that's awesome. I'm so happy for you because that movie turned out very well. I don't care anybody says, it turned out very, very well.
It was
a fun film.
It was one of those situations where it's like, if you could do it again, what would you do? And I was like, well, I'd pull an even situation. You know what I mean? I'm going to Sam Raimi the shit out of this. So for the sequel.
That's everything, though. That's every filmmaker's nightmare.
Yeah,
I could have done this differently, but you know what? It's a learning. Mm-hmm. It's learning.
So I'm kind of taking a different approach. It's kind of like more
nice.
Raven's New Nightmare. where the first film was just a film, and now that it's gaining popularity a few years later, it's starting to go through conventions and stuff like that. There's talks of a sequel getting made, but there's a real life copycat killer, Sammy the Elf, taking it off attached to the film at horror conventions and things like that. So I'm looking for some pretty cool people to get that going. I'm currently writing that as well. You can expect a lot of people that were in the first film that died to come back, because again, the first film was just the film. So it's accepting what happened with the first film without doing a full-on remake, you know. But we're really good at that world a bit. And, you know, with my next feature film, Bad Apples, we have a crowdfunder going on right now where people were able to get replicas as a Sammy the Elf mask that would guarantee them a spot in the sequel. I thought that was a really fun perk, because it was like, not only do you get the mask, but you're also going to be in the film, you know, at one of these horror convention scenes that we're writing that'll have a bunch of different people. So, yeah, I'm trying to get back together for that one.
So Bad Apples is a young self-absorbed sociopath begins to show her true colors once her foster parents adopt yet another kid to steal her spot. That sounds like a very interesting story.
Yeah, so for this one, the concept came about with me watching films like The Good Son or Becky, Orphan.
Great film.
All three of those films, they all had that similar type of plot line where it's like a youth kind of gone off the deep end. And with The Good Son, it was like I always wanted more from the antagonist of that, you know, Macaulay Culkin. Or however you say his name, sorry. Sorry, Macaulay. No. but however you say his name. You know, I always wanted more from that character. I wanted to know more about his motives, why he was doing what he was doing. And I wanted to see more of that. So that's how I came about writing Bad Apples. It was kind of a young orphan situation who's going to have some deep character development, I should say.
Very intrigued. Kickstarter, or what's it on?
Indiegogo.
Indiegogo?
Yeah, it's on Indiegogo. We're currently in demand, so we already wrapped our days of funding for that. So it's still in demand where people can get digital copies, physical copies, producer credit, all that stuff. But we're hoping to start filming sometime between now and I'd say July is what I'm aiming for, especially with having so many kids on the cast and scheduling with them. Summer is looking more likely for a lot of their scenes, but I'll be able to start a big chunk of the film before summer for that one. That'll be filmed here in Indiana. We're looking at possibly other locations as well, depending on what we may need for the scenes. But overall, just Indiana. We might branch into like Kentucky or Ohio, depending on if we can't find exactly what we're looking for here. I have a lead on a couple of really cool locations that I'm looking at getting that are going to work for the script. But, you know, we have like a really big house with like a built-in pool. We have like a school location, you know, we have kind of more of a rundown type house, you know, so the woods, you know, we have some fun locations that we're trying to scout for this. And the school is being one of the bigger ones. Now I got a couple I'm talking to for that one, but I'm kind of looking for something a little bit bigger because it's kind of an all grade school situation. In a small town that I'm writing for. So that's kind of what I'm aiming for that location. But if all else fails, I'll have to just rent like one of those school sets or something, you know?
The title alone, Bad Apples, is catchy. So is there anything else that you have that you want to talk about?
There's another movie that I'll be directing. I've been hired on to direct, but they're currently working up the final draft for the script, and I'm not sure exactly where they're at on funding right now, but it's called Deep Within the Caves. And that one is kind of like a supernatural My Bloody Valentine situation with, you know, some ghost miners terrorizing some folks. I can't go too much into that. Well, because they're still kind of developing the final draft, so I don't know what's going to be finalized. But I know the overall hook of it is like these gnarly little ghost miners that are going to be tearing some folks apart. So, you know, being a big fan of like My Bloody Valentine and anything supernatural, I was on board the second they pitched the story to me. So Bishop Stevens, one of the actors that's going to be attached to that. So it's, I was like, oh, yeah, I'd work with him. I'd love to.
Yeah, I like Bishop Stevens. Mm-hmm. Glad that you made it on. I mean, again, I think He Knows was better than what you thought it was going to be. I am very happy with it. It's a great stepping stone for you because, like I said, it had everything that I loved because it had some of that 80s throwback in it as far as the kills, you know, when a knife goes up and another person's dead.
Yeah, I appreciate that. That's my first feature film, actor, writer, director, producer. I learned a lot on that one. And like you said, I'm really proud of it too. It's like, yeah, it's flawed, but it's fun flaws.
Yeah, well, exactly. I mean, what, the key word is flaws. It's how you handle those flaws. Mm-hmm. Is what it boils down to. And you handle the flaws perfectly. Again, I don't go into a movie looking at flaws. I could care shit less about flaws. I go into a movie storyline, you know, I don't care if someone's dead and their eyes are blinking. I don't give a shit. You lay on the floor and try to keep your eyes still when you're trying to play dead. It ain't easy.
Yeah, I was playing one time and it was like I couldn't stop breathing. I was like, I'm not breathing, but yeah. I'm moving. I'm sorry.
Exactly. And I get a kick out. I'll let you go. I used to listen to back in the day, I would listen to these other podcasts reviewing movies. And a lot of them are trying to be the Howard Stern of the horror movie business, which is ridiculous. Is they'll say stupid shit like, yeah, his eyes are blinking. Hey, shut up, you idiot. You know, you don't know anything. It's hard.
It is.
I mean, it's not like, okay, sometimes you can only take one or two takes. You know, you have to do the best you can.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not $1 million film.
Right. I said, Kevin Smith, I put on those lenses and I'm just watching it and I'm like, oh, well, the cinematography was great or the acting was great or I liked the story. Like something in that film was good. You know what I mean? Rather than mm-hmm. detail, but there's something there that you can enjoy and point out, you know, for anything really. It's like, I'm not a big fan of, what is it, Midsummer, but that movie is gorgeous. You know what I mean? Like, I can't deny that. It's flawless looking, you know what I mean? But like the story,
right.
But like I don't look at that. I'm just like, we're just looking film. I'll watch it 3 times, but that's about it. You know,
Hereditary is another one that I can't stand.
Yeah.
Have you seen Hereditary?
Yeah,
it's horrible.
Yeah, I'm actually one of those stupid. Guys. When a movie gets put up on that pedestal, I usually go in, you know, slightly different, kind of like, okay, what? What is it people love about this? The menu, it's kind of like...
That's what I say to myself. I said, what do they see that I don't see? The girl gets her head knocked off of a telephone pole. You'll see no police. He wakes up the next morning. What? Excuse me, what am I missing?
Right.
I mean, come on.
I go on video movie, though, and I'm like, this is genius. You know? But I'll watch some of these big blockbusters, and I'm like, where'd they put that at, man? Like, I don't see it. I don't see it on the screen. I don't see it in the talent. I don't know.
Yeah, I just couldn't understand why people love the movie so much. I don't understand it because it was in the whiny brother was a whiner, and the parents are acting weird. The whole movie ended up weird.
Yeah.
But anyways, I just want to say thank you very much for the entertainment from He Knows, because I really, really didn't know anything about that film, and I came across it, and I didn't realize Lynn Lowry was in it until I popped it in, because I don't look at that stuff.
Yeah, I've actually got a surprisingly good cast on that. A lot of them have blown up since He Knows. You know, Zach Mizer, he's been on American Horror Story, New York's Men. He's now a SAG actor, so he's going to be hard to get back. I got young Morgan Pyle. You know, she came from big films like Extremely Wicked, Shockingly Evil, and Vile. That's a Zac Efron, Ted Bundy film on Netflix. You know, Hohead came from Wicked Ones. Britt Baker, she's a local Fox 59 news anchor out here in Indiana. Who else did I have? And that was surprisingly, like, obviously, Julianne Prescott and... what is his name? Sean C. Phillips, you know, couple more actors that stay busy, Jason Crow. So for my first feature, man, that was an incredible cast of people to work with. It was kind of like a master class for me as a director to learn all the different acting styles and how to work with different people and how to bring it all together. But I'm sorry, I'll keep talking your head off, man.
No. Look, Sean C. Phillips and I go way back. I mean, he did his reviews on YouTube, and I was doing it in the audio. I've seen a bunch of his films. He played that corny cop in your film, Samuel. It's quite up Sean's alley, the way he acts like that. And he used to be a very, very big boy back in the day. He lost a lot of weight. Looks really good.
That's what I knew him from, was one of his earlier sci-fi films. And I was like, holy crap. Like,
Ghost Shark and all of them, yeah.
Which one was it? It was like them in a school with Danny Trejo, I think. but he was an interesting person to work with. And on the Blu-ray, we got about 2 or 3 minutes of that scene with him just doing the most. Like him just like nonstop going back and forth with that other character and their improv scene. So on a Blu-ray, there's like an extra 2-3 minutes of that.
Well, I'm going to do a shout out for Sean C. He did his first film. It's called Amityville Bigfoot. And that's coming out very soon. He has orders for it. But anyways, I want to say thank you for coming on. I definitely want to check out Bad Apples too when it comes out. Maybe I'll make a trip to Indiana just to come and visit. You gotta let me know where you're shooting at and come and see you.
We're posted, man. Like I said, we're mainly shooting in and around Indianapolis, but we're finalizing some locations I have, probably starting out 3 months to, you know, July. Sometime between that and there. But yeah, everyone's always welcome. I'm pretty inclusive, so.
I'll come and come a visit, check it out.
Yeah, for sure. We'll be shooting some scenes with Lisa Wilcox before you know it.
I met Lisa. I'm friends with Lisa. Lisa's a good girl.
Yeah, we're excited to work with her. Some pretty cool scenes planned.
All right. Well, thanks for coming on, bud.
Right on. Sounds good, man. I appreciate you taking the time to chat with me.
Well, again, great job on He Knows. It's a good stepping stone for you. So I can only imagine what Bad Apples is going to be like.
I appreciate that. Well, definitely keep in touch. Hey, buddy.
Take care. We'll see you.